Matthew 7. Let's look at the interesting passage of Scripture tonight. One that's often been viewed with great controversy. One, in my opinion, that is very clear to the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 7, verse 29. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto thee, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of thy word tonight. Cleanse me of sin and of self. Fill me with thy spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Hard to believe we're coming to the end of these three chapters. We began in Matthew chapter 5 as Lord Jesus Christ himself ascended to the mount. That mount was a symbol of his authority. He was positioning himself as king, as magistrate, as ruler, as Lord. He was letting them know that not only am I giving you orders, but I have the right to give them. And he spent his time in chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter number 7, making it very clear that if he was king, then a king must have servants. I want to remind you tonight, as I've said many a time, we do have a king. And the king should have in us some servants. But whether or not you serve isn't going to change the fact he's still king. And he's ruling and reigning. One day, ultimately, he's going to rule and reign on the throne of Jerusalem again. Live in form like you and I have never seen him before. And in that day, he's going to rule. He's going to be the Prince of Peace that rules and reigns forever and ever of his kingdom. There shall be no end. Literally, there will be a rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, I say to you, let him rule in your heart. Allow him the throne. Allow him leadership, influence, guidance, direction. He should be calling the shots. And by the way, if he's ruling, listen to me. You're not living to please yourself. You're living to please him. And as you read Matthew chapter 5, beginning with the Beatitudes, which are symbols of perfect blessedness, and I'm always glad that I have a king on the throne who wants me to be happy. Listen, if you're not happy, it's not because Jesus wants you to be. He wants you to be happy. As a matter of fact, the true essence of happiness, the true bliss of happiness, the true epitome of happiness, the purest sense of happiness, the joy unspeakable, full of glory, is not wrapped up in self-centeredness and self-gratification. It is wrapped up in a life that is dedicated and yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the more that I live for Him, the more that I enjoy myself. We looked the last couple of weeks at these wolves in sheep's clothing. We were reminded that not everyone that claims to be a prophet is the real deal. And I spoke to you last week and I reminded you and informed you and admonished you and advised you as best as I knew how that you not fall prey to listening to folks who claim to preach the truth when in actuality they're preaching a lie. By the way, they're all over television. They're all over the internet. I find myself listening sometimes early, early Sunday morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning on my way up here and listening to what some men of God, as they call themselves, contend to be sound Bible teaching. And I don't know if I'm more amazed that they think it's sound, or I'm or more amazed at the people listening to him, them that can't tell it's not sound. But nonetheless, you find all around this world that the enemy of Satan is using the medium of religion to blind people's minds to the truth. And within this great sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is challenging his people, if you're going to live for me and if you're going to learn from me, you've got to beware of false prophets. Yes, they're in sheep's clothing, but within they are wolves, and you shall know them by their fruits. Last week we looked at fruit, the essence of fruit. I told you, when you're looking at the fruit of a false prophet, look at, first of all, his creed. What is he teaching? His body of beliefs. To remind you today that still, the main thrust of a Bible preacher is sound doctrine. That ought to be your most crucial determining factor in selecting the church you're going to join, in selecting the church you're going to attend, in selecting the church in which you are a member, not just the choir or the entertainment or the programs or the this or the that and the other. And by the way, it's not hard to find churches that are full of programs and properties that have large edifices on them. It's not hard to find things that are full of pomp and splendor and circumstance. It's not hard to find preachers full of charismatic personalities and winsome like ways. But at the end of the day, it shouldn't just be about how good the building looks or how great the choir sounds. At the end of the day, it ought to be, how does the man handle the book? Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. My friend, can I tell you, at the end of the day, it's not about what I think or about how I feel. It's about what thus saith the Lord. Somebody will say amen right there. So, my people, he says, watch out for false prophets. Because not everybody that's walking around preaching is preaching the truth. But he goes a little bit further tonight. I do want to remind you that, yes, he was immediately speaking to his disciples, but there was a crowd of multitudes that gathered around him listening in on this great sermon. Such is why, at the end of the passage of Scripture, which we will look at in a couple of weeks, that the Bible says it came to pass that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes. So the disciples were not the only ones listening in on this sermon. There was a larger, broader crowd of people that were here and aroused by the way he spoke. But as he preached this sermon, he not only said to them, watch out for false prophets, because not everyone that contends to be a prophet is a real prophet, but he goes beyond that. He says this, not only is not every prophet a real prophet, but not every professing Christian is a real Christian. I would like to take a few moments tonight and deal with the subject of what I've entitled Christian Pretenders. Christian Pretenders. And I will help you, under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, to learn how to spot them. In context, I would like to teach you, I feel like it's most applicable to most of us, that we need to learn how to spot Christian pretenders, but where the need be, I not only want to help you spot Christian pretenders, I want to help you find out if you are one. And we find as clearly in Scripture as anywhere in the 66 books of the Bible that we're living in a day and age where everybody is naming the name of Christ. But it is not necessarily as they so named. You know, in our soul winning efforts, we knock on doors. We witness a good number of our folks ride Metro every day. They work in the Washington, D.C. area. We're on planes. We're in the shopping mall. We're carrying gospel tracts. We're discussing the Word of God in barbershops and ladies in hair salons. And you're running into people and you're discussing it. And I'm amazed at how many people are Christians. When the media makes the statement, he's a good Christian man, that can mean anything. When an athlete credits the Lord for his success, just because he's giving God credit for his success doesn't mean he actually belongs to God. Come on. I'm always amazed that you come to the end of these awards ceremonies and they have these Grammys and these what else they have? Grammys and Oscars and Emmys and Stellars and all of these things. And I'm always amazed at some of the most graphically disrespectful people that will win an award disgracing God and then credit God for winning the award. And I believe this is what Jesus was referring to. In direct context, he is saying there that we've got wolves in sheep's clothing. They're claiming to be prophets and they're false prophets. And because they're false, they're producing converts that are false. And you cannot become a real convert of Christ if you're converted by heresy. You understand? So if you got supposedly into the family of God through bad doctrine, you were lied to. You cannot belong to God unless you go through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so you cannot end up a child of God by going through another door outside of Jesus, because he is the door. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the day of ecumenicalism and the joining together of all kinds of religions and all kinds of cultures, all kinds of tribes and all kinds of ways of thinking, and where the thrust is to join hands together. We're all going to heaven, but we're all on a different road. Listen to me. That gobbledygook is being contended all over the world, all over the internet. And I say to you, those of us who have been born again by the Spirit of God, not of corruptible seed, but by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, we know better. We know that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All the glory and all the honor for my salvation belongs to God, who loved me enough to send his only begotten Son to hang and bleed and to suffer for my sins on the cross of Calvary. And if I'm saved tonight, I got in through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his sinless blood washed my sins away. Hear me now. There are people who claim to have done just that. That alone. Amen. Say, I'm not going to preach to you on Mormonism tonight and the Nation of Islam and the Jehovah's False Witnesses. Because we know they're lost. It's the people who are mumbling the same rhetoric that we believe that we got to watch out for. I mean, if you spend 7 days a week arguing with the cults, you're probably not a good Christian. If you spend all your time trying to convince a Muslim at why Allah is not God, I mean, why do you argue about that? We already know he's not God if his son's not Jesus. I mean, good gracious. Or to spend hours upon hours. I mean, you could be reading your Bible during that time. You could be talking to somebody who believes in Jesus but just doesn't know how to appropriate faith so that his blood is applied to his account. I'm simply saying God did not save us to spend all our time fighting false religion, but I am telling you that a greater scare to me today than just the cults, and please don't think that I'm minimizing the threat and the seriousness of cults today, but there is a segment and a wave of folks today that are not engaged in outright heresy per se or a part of the cults, but those that understand all of the words, all of the rhetoric, all of the nuances, all of the way to sound like a Christian, but they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That concern. So, Christian pretenders, let's see if we can race our way through this tonight. John 2, 23 through 24, Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day. Many believed in his name. Watch this now. When they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. In other words, they believed in his name because of miracles. John 3, 2. Nicodemus comes by night. Rabbi, Rabbi, we know that our teacher come from God. Sounds great. He must be saved. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Thank you for the compliment, but complimenting Jesus doesn't get you in heaven. The devils also believe, James said, and be trembled. John 6, after the feeding of the 5,000, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed into a mountain himself alone. They were amazed. Hey, listen to me. They knew there's no way that one lunch could feed 5,000 people besides women and children unless God was on this man. But just knowing that God was on him and not that he was God's only choice for salvation by way of Calvary was not enough. John 7:48. Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Matthew 18:3, except you be converted, become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Luke 18:17, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise case enter in. Let's look at these Christian pretenders tonight. Number one, first thing about them, I'll give you four characteristics. Number one, they have a declaration.
Here it is. Lord, Lord. Everybody calling God's name don't belong to him. Not everybody calls God's name. God's name belongs to him.
Oh, yeah, but why? God, boy, that's a good Christian person. Why? Because he said, Lord, Lord.
I must be a Christian because when I pray, I call him Lord.
Luke 6:46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not think as I say? In Matthew 8, they cried out, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? By the way, for those of you that don't know that portion of Scripture, you know who the they that was crying out to him? Demons. The demons were saying, Jesus, thou Son of God. It always amazes me why the Muslims and the Jehovah's Witness can't figure it out and the devils could.
Thou Son of God. Ye call me Master. John 13:13. And Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. It's as if you say, thank you, you're right.
But that doesn't make you saved. Second John 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. They have a declaration. Here's the declaration. They perceive the truth. Listen. Christian pretenders are not lost because they don't understand salvation.
They have been intellectually enlightened to the truth. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He who knew no sin became sin for us. God became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They understand that. They deny not the deity of Christ. They'll not tell you that the Bible is not true. They'll not argue with you that the tomb is empty. They'll not question the sinlessness of the blood of Jesus Christ. They have been enlightened. They perceive, hear me now, they perceive the truth and they thereby profess a testimony.
I'm saved. I'm saved.
I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm a child of God.
How long you been saved? Oh, I've been saved for years. Folks, I'm not talking about people who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. I'm talking about people who know the ins and outs of the gospel. Amen. But the gospel has never gotten in them, so it shows out. They perceive the truth. They profess a testimony. They even participate in teaching. Listen, I have known lost people who could lead other lost people to the Lord. Do you know you don't have to be saved to tell somebody how to go to heaven? That's right. Amen. All you have to do is just read the Bible. The plan has been put in place by the Holy Spirit of God. It's not your job to make the plan work. You just have to give it. God gets the credit. He gives the increase. And here we have folks who have a declaration. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord. They say, here's how you find a Christian pretender. They're all talk. Declaration. God, who at sundry times denied his name, spake in time fasting to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by whom also he made the world. The Father judgeth no man, John 5:22, but have committed all judgment unto the Son. Could I tell you that the Christian pretenders not only have a declaration, but let me give you a description of it.
Lord, Lord, they say, Lord.
Here's the problem. They don't do the will of my Father.
So yes, they've got the words right. They've got the talk right. They've got the terms right. But there's no life that backs up their lips.
Here's the problem with a lot of Christian pretenders. They have no fruit. It's these people that keep saying they're saved, but there's never a change. They're saved, but they go back to the same thing they keep doing.
They're saved. No victory over sin. They're saved. No contentment in their life. They're saved. There is no joy. They're saved. There is no regularity. They're saved. They're in and out of sin. They're saved. But they have no victory in this Christian life. They're saved. They have no love for the Word of God. They're saved. They don't like being around the people of God. They're saved. They still enjoy that mess they did before they supposedly got saved.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I want to tell you something tonight. Beloved, by the grace of God, when you got saved, you became a new creation of God. Metamorphomai is the word in the Greek. There's been an absolute transformation. You went from caterpillar to butterfly. And I'm telling you, this segment of Christianity today that has all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed, but there is no real life demonstration of a change that can only be brought about through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a scam. You need another one. No faithfulness. Listen to this passage of Scripture. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, I've known people who have sat under more preaching, who have read more books, who have taken more classes, who have been in more services, and yet still can't seem to ever learn how to do right.
Ever learning, but now they're able to come to the truth. Why? Because the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So here he is. I know the Lord, but he doesn't know the Lord. So the Bible hits his hat and falls down.
1 Peter 2:3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Ephesians 1:19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our heart to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Where are we getting all these folks that say they're saved, but have no change? And you know what? We're getting more and more and more. It is a shame that people think that just because they say the right words, they're going to heaven.
No fruit, no faithfulness. No fluidness. There is no flow to their Christian life. It is a roller coaster up and down. One day they're smiling and happy they're saved. The next day they're mad about the Christian life.
And we're trying to rehabilitate them into being people that act like they're Christians. When truth be told, they never became one.
No fruit, no faithfulness, no fluidness. Why? No faith.
What is not of faith is sin. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with him. Let me give you number three. By the way, Romans 2:22, thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? You know, one of the amazing things about people today, and I spoke about it last Sunday morning, is we have lost the whole significance of repentance.
Folks know what they're supposed to believe. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. But I want him to give me his salvation, even though I want to keep my sin.
And I'm running into more and more, and I'm hearing more and more folks who either profess to be saved or want to be saved say this: I know I want to get saved, and I'm willing to pray that prayer, but I'm going to let you know right now, certain things I ain't going to give up. I like my music. I like my fun. I like my friends. I like my foolishness. Hey, let me tell you something. When you ever get a good dose of the grace of God, there's nothing you're doing that you like more than being a child of God. And folks don't understand it. I think we fail to realize that this thing about salvation is supernatural. We heard the choir sing this morning, Jesus, something happens, something supernatural. When I call your name, and listen to me, the work of salvation is the work of Almighty God. We're not talking about being confirmed. We're not talking about being just a member of a church. We're not talking about just being catechized. We're not just talking about being brought into some attendance or some doctrines of the faith. We're talking about the literal God of the universe actually taking a permanent residence in your heart. How can that happen and you not change? You know, we cannot judge whether people are saved. We can't. But I will say this. There are a number of Christians. There are a number of professing Christians of whom I've arrived at the conclusion they're lost. Now listen to this movie. Hosea 6:4, Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee, O Judah? What shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away.
He says, folks, you know what my problem is? Your goodness. You live right in the morning, and by the next day, even before it's over, you're back to that same old stuff.
Isaiah 48:2, for they called themselves the holy city and stayed themselves upon the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts is his name. Look at Acts 8:13. Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip in wonder, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Oh, he looked like he had got saved for real. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Oh, yeah. Agrippa believed the prophets, and then he made the statement later, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Did I tell you there's no such thing as almost saved? By the way, ain't no such thing as almost lost. And ain't no almost hell. You're going to be in it or not. We are Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? Jesus answered him, verily I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. These Jews couldn't get saved because they didn't think they were lost.
And I'm afraid that some people in the church have never thought they were lost.
Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. For as the body without the spirit is dead, faith without works is dead. No faith is the scripture. Number three, I'm halfway, almost there. They're displayed. Now look, here's how you got these Christian pretenders. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. I won't take the time to give you a bunch of them. Can I give you one? Judas. The Bible said he brought unto him 12 and gave him the power to cast out devils. You know what that means? That Judas Iscariot himself had the power on him to cast out devils. He was lost.
He was lost. He had showy accolades. Here is a Christian pretender. Most of his Christianity is that which he puts on for a show.
Showy accolades. Spiritual appearance. They look saved. Oh yeah, she's saved. Look at her. He's saved? Oh, brother, what's the name? He's saved. He's been here forever. What does that mean? What's his name? Choir member. You're not saved because you're in the choir. You're not saved because you're in the choir. So don't plan to stand before Jesus and tell him that you're in heaven because you're saying you're going back to the choir. You're not saved because you're a deacon. You're not saved because you teach Sunday school class. You're not saved because your parents are saved. You're not saved because your spouse is saved. You're saved because you're saved. And if you think you're saved because of any other reason, you're not saved.
Examine yourselves, Paul said in 2 Corinthians. Make sure you're in the faith.
I heard a leader of a large religious institution, in response to a message preached on this, a personal friend of mine, the pastor, personal friend, who preached out of Matthew 7, preached it, not only saying my opinion, he preached it expositionally. Doctrine sound. He preached on this subject of those who claim to be saved, not saved. Preached it in a crowd of people that were that was mostly made up of professing Christians. And when he finished, those who had always contended, at least for a long time, that they were saved, had this struggle and conflict going in their mind. And many who thought they were saved actually got saved. And the leadership, in response to his message, reprimanded him, canceled all his future engagement, cut his time there short. Because he supposedly handled a portion of Scripture wrongly and caused saved people to be confused about their salvation. Now, let me say something just for my own self. Okay? You can come in here talking anything you want to. You can have a PhD and a HIV or a BET or ADD. Listen to me. Let me say, you can come in here and come all up down, pull out all your doctrinal statements, and you can pull out your jargon and your gobbledygook, and you can listen to me. You can pull out every word in the Webster's dictionary, and you can wax eloquent all you want to. But I don't care what you're talking. There's no way you're going to make me doubt my salvation, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. And not only do I know whom I believe, but I got some more scripture. The Lord knoweth them that are his. I know him. He know me. You didn't write my name down, so you can't erase it. So, when folks are insulted, when folks are insulted by their salvation being brought into question, it leads me to believe they may not be saved. Why do you want to know whether I'm saved? Why do I need to give you an answer? And why do you keep questioning? Because your life stinks. And if you looked like Jesus, we wouldn't keep asking you if you knew him. Help us out here. I have met people on the plane, in the elevator, in the hospital. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Holy Ghost filled. Look like the devil. The Holy Ghost filled. And then you ask them, how do you know it? You're at the point in time in your life, you put your faith in trust in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin. Who do you think I am? I know I'm saved. I've been going to such and such, such and such, such and such, such and such. You know, when a church got that long of a name, they can't be right with God. I've been going to such and such, such and such, such and such, such and such, such and such of the such and such, 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 such church. I must be saved. I'm not asking you what church you're in. I'm asking you, are you in Christ? And by the way, I am an independent Baptist by conviction. Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I die, be Baptist dead. But listen to me. God is not going to ask your denomination when you get to heaven. He's going to ask you, is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Amen. I don't think you ought to go to any church. Amen. I think you ought to go to a Bible preaching, Bible teaching, sound doctrinal church. But before you even do that, you need to be in the family of God. Amen. And when you get in the family, you can't enter the body of Christ if you're not in the family of God. Around here, we believe the body of Christ is local New Testament church. The visible, not invisible, the local, not universal, the visible, local, assembled, congregated, gathering of believers baptized for the purpose of carrying out the Great Commission. Ecclesia. Called out from the world unto Jesus. Showy accolades, spiritual appearance, supernatural acts. I've done all these things. Stop convincing yourself you're saved. If I wasn't saved, I wouldn't have been able to do this. Judas did. Kept the bag. The church treasure. I'm glad the church treasure here is saved. Amen. I just worry about this whole line of thinking that says, keep telling yourself you're saved. And we've gotten to a point where we do it in our counseling. Somebody come doubting their salvation.
No, you ain't lost. You don't not care. You think you have it? You think you have it? You have it? You have it? You saved.
So, read that. I'm saved. I'm saved. No question about it. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I got to be saved. I must be saved. Always been saved. No, I'm going to lose my salvation. I'm saved. No, you're not. You're lost. You might be. You're not saved because some counselor in the back told you you're saved. How many of you in here today thought you were saved and found out you weren't saved? Look at all these hands. Young lady right here, Amanda, right here, new member in our church, says she's been struggling with the last couple of months. She came in this morning with tears in her eyes, smiling up, and she said, I got a seven, I got saved. I said, you got nothing to hold your head down about. She got it right. And I'm glad for people who thought they were saved and got it right. But I've known some got saved eight times and still ain't got it right. And I mean it. They did the same wrong thing they did the last seven times and added eight to it. And they're just as lost after the eighth as they were after the third. I can't make you act saved. But you can't stop from acting saved if you are saved. Let me give you one more thing. Their declaration, their description, their display, and then their doom.
After you list off all your salvation qualifications,
Jesus said, then I'm going to talk. I will profess unto them, I never knew you. The exposing of the truth, and then the expelling into torment. God help us. I have preached funerals for as best as I can tell. The person was lost. Unless something happened, they had never made even a profession. They rejected Christ for 7 years. But I always think in my mind, by way of imagination, when I get to heaven, will this ever happen? Where was it? Where is Brother Samson? Let me go talk to Sister Soul. She's not here. Huh? Sat in this seat. Went to this altar. Was part of this family. Taught this clan. Lost. For fun, some Christians
make you just try to guess which one of them you're going to get on any given day. Are you going to be saved or they're alive? Let me guess. 50-50. Listen, there's some of you, listen. And this is not your pastor guessing. This is what your pastor knows about that you don't know your pastor knows. There's some of you that wave your hand in church, you're like the devil when you're not in church. Amen. Amen. And if I weren't sworn to secrecy by the person that told me, I'd come tell you. You come to this altar, you cry, you pray, you're not real. You sing in choir, you may wave your hand, you're not real. You dress the part. You are modest every Sunday and every Wednesday, and immodest every other day. You're here for somebody. Here for your spouse, here for me, here for Pastor Mike. Here because it feels good to be up there. here because you've been here so long, you don't even know what to do if you weren't here. You're lost. This is why you're still struggling with the same music, and you're hanging in the same places, and when you're not listening to that music, and when you're not hanging in places, you're mad that you're not. Instead of getting upset by what I'm saying, get serious so you don't hear him say what I can say. Our Father, I pray that you will bless